We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Good afternoon and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein. The Michael Flynn investigation drew first blood in a corruption scandal so deep that it has riveted our nation for 3 years. And everybody knows how deep the corruption is. The House knows it, the Senate knows it, the left, the right, even the communists know it, for God's sake. So you have to ask yourself, how can you take an American general who served his country for 33 years, was committed to protecting it from enemies foreign and domestic, then make him a political prisoner over a misstatement, while so many others, and the list is long, walk free? To help us answer this fundamental question and other questions, based on her good old-fashioned research and fact-finding, Barbara Flynn Redgate is here with me to get to the root of what happened to her brother, General Mike Flynn. And to introduce Barbara, Barbara is the proud older sister of General Mike Flynn. She's retired now after teaching 30 years as an advanced placement physics teacher. She has coached a variety of sports. She's married to a retired naval aviator and has three grown daughters, two of which have served in the military, and I believe the third is going to be getting married to the Navy. She's also one of nine siblings in the Flynn family. So welcome, Barbara. I'm deeply honored to have you here.
Oh, hi, Ray. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here to talk to everybody and put a voice, you know, to some of you guys that see my picture on Twitter or have seen my picture or read my tweet. So I really appreciate the opportunity to put a voice with a face. So thank you.
Well, Barbara, I want to start out. Retirement hasn't turned out quite as you expected, has it?
Well, you know, I'm so grateful that had the wonderful opportunity to teach a bunch of high school students for 30 years. But, when this happened, and I'll just get a little into a little bit about my family, I thought I'd add a little more, Ray. Like,
sure.
I have a daughter, just so people kind of know a little bit about me. And I know I've talked on a couple of shows, so I don't want to get too repetitious. But I do have a daughter that is a Navy lieutenant commander. I'm really proud of her. She's a Navy dentist. And I have a daughter that was in the Navy, and it's the second one that's getting married to. She was in the Navy, and she's getting married next summer. And then my third daughter. And I also have a brother, Major General Charlie Flynn. He's still an active duty general. So we're just this, you know, very patriotic family. And we were dedicated to, my parents told us, service to country. It was a big part of our lives. So,
yes.
But anyway, I think I'll just kind of go into, you know, I'm just honored to be here with you guys today and your invitation, Ray, and warm welcome and acknowledgement as to the importance of why you've given me this chance to address you is very much appreciated by me, my entire family, and millions of Americans who are in the trenches fighting to keep this great country free. Free from political corruption and double standards. And they know that, you know, the patriots know, and you know, and we all know there must always be equal justice under the law in these United States, or, you know, the United States were doomed, and we're facing some, you know, socialism and infanticide and horrible things, open borders. So, but anyway, one of the warriors in this battle to save our country and our Constitution and ensure the adherence to the rule of law in America is my dear brother, retired Lieutenant General Mike Flynn.
Yes.
And General Mike, as we call him, and I know you guys that follow me see me, you know, put General Mike down. He served, you know, over 33 years in the U.S. Army defending this country from enemies around the world. And when he left his last position as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2014, the the 2016 presidential election was heating up. And as a patriot and knowing what he knew, his number one priority has always been his whole entire life to serve America. And many candidates reached out to him for advice on national security, and he gladly responded. And Donald Trump was one of those candidates. And little did he realize at the time that his efforts in helping elect President Trump would result in, you know, this horrible assassination and political selective political prosecution of his reputation by the unfathomable highest ranking political operatives in the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, the NSA, and the National Security Advisor. I'm talking about Susan Rice and those people intent on knocking him out and taking him down and taking down an elected president.
Yes.
A feat that's still unfolding today. And why this occurred has become crystal clear. His forthright words were feared by the deep state of this political power hungry of the political power hungry operatives in America.
And that's great background, and I do want to get more deeply into that with you. But
okay.
I want to start with a tough question, but I think it's something that needs to be asked, and that is, why did your brother plead in this case, and what were the circumstances around that plea?
Well, you know, we have to go back to they were listening in on his conversations, and he was talking to the president is now Donald Trump is now elected president. He's the national security advisor. He's calling 30 different leaders throughout the world and just making contacts and getting connected. And they were listening in on his conversations. And the next thing you know, and you heard, you've seen the video by Comey jokingly talking about, you know, they really didn't understand some of the rules. General Mike was not a politician. So anyway, they're listening to his conversation. McCabe sends over Strzok and Pienka, two FBI agents, and General Mike just thinks it's a regular, you know, conversation. And they come in with questions, and Pienka actually was writing the notes while Strzok was asking questions, and they were trying to create a perjury trap. And we all know now that he didn't lie to them. They said he didn't lie. And somehow now it's turned into a perjury misstatement. Mueller turned it into a perjury misstatement. Okay, why did that have to happen? Well, they start to go after your entire family. They're going to, you know, they threw the FARA violations at him. They were going to entrap his son with FARA violations, and his son had just had a brand new baby.
Oh my
and
God.
they were just going to destroy. So he was being unbelievably harassed, and now we're going on 3 years by the, I call it the special coup, and they were going to indict him. They were going to indict his son. And at the time, there was no money. There's no, you know, he's just a regular guy that, you know, really knew all of the horrible things that they were doing, especially with Hillary Clinton's knowingly used in a private server. But anyway, he had no money at the time, and his chances to go into this, his chances of surviving, and now we know in a D.C. swamp courtroom are like, you have no chance. Like 95% of D.C. voted for Hillary Clinton. They hate our President Trump. They hate Donald Trump more than they love our country. So General Mike's chances of surviving, and we can see it playing out clearly, are about, I'm thinking, 2%. I mean, I think 97% of D.C. voted for Hillary. So that, you know, gave General Mike a 3% chance. But, you know, so that's where we were. We thought that
so you thought the plea would stop the bleeding?
Yes. I mean, he was, you know, this was, there was, they were also going to likely indict Mike Jr., whose wife had just had a baby. And and none of this information, of course, about the dossier and all of this information that's come out now, the Page testimony, the Weiss, now we know that Weissman and Ahmad, Zainab Ahmad, two of the prosecutors on the special counsel team were in on the dossier. They were briefed by Bruce Orr. This is a fact.
And this was early on. This is very early.
This is the summer of 2016. Okay. And that's why this latest news is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Gateway Pundit just came out with an article that, maybe Barr is investigating Weissman. We hope and pray that's true. So anyway, you have a 5% chance of survival. And we can see just the latest news, too, with mm-hmm. Roger Stone. They've now pushed his trial, this D.C. judge, Amy Berman, or whatever her name is. They just pushed Roger Stone's trial to November. We're talking about millions of dollars, just think, the Mueller team, I call it the $50 million wrecking machine. you can't afford this kind of stuff. So General Mike thought, I'll just plead guilty mm-hmm. and they're going to convict me of a misstatement or something. And then we were looking for those original 302s that Pienka had written, and they've never
come
been
to light.
Given. They've never come to light. So that's another little thing. Well, but anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let me just go a little different direction, but I think it's going to
sure.
help us understand your nature. You're a physics teacher. Now, for me, that's like a wow, because I don't think I made it through chemistry. But my question is, how has the training helped you, knowing physics, to uncover the facts of this corruption of justice against your brother?
Right. Well, physics is the foundation of all the sciences, and it's a problem-solving science. So you're given a set of variables, you're given a story, and a set of variables. And what you have to do is connect all of those variables or facts. You connect them, you form an equation that relates those variables or facts, and then you come up with an answer or a solution. And in my case, it's all about putting facts together and coming up with the answer, mm-hmm. and then hopefully a solution. And I know what the solution to this whole, this whole problem should be. And I'll get to that when you ask me that question.
Yes. Why are facts so critical to this case?
Okay. Because in order to defend, all of us need all of the patriots that we have out there, all the wonderful, amazing patriots that we're all now connected, and it's like one big family.
Yes.
We have to know, in order to understand and move forward as we move forward through this process and help our president, who really is alone, mm-hmm. we have to understand how the facts play out in this and how we end this horrible abuse of power and stop this from destroying our country. We cannot have the top brass of the FBI, the CIA, and the DOJ trying to take down our duly elected president and abuse him. I mean, 3 years he's been going on, 3 years he's under investigation. They're trying to, have him impeached. It's just horrendous to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have to know the facts. You can't rely on, theory or conspiracy and all that baloney. We have to put the facts together, and with those facts together, we will find our answers. And there are many answers and many solutions to this, because there are so many offshoots to this whole horrible coup, I call it. It's an absolute soft coup.
Yep. Soft coup. What's your dining room table look like?
Oh, my God. My family is so great. My husband, my husband has about 50. We've been together since high school. He's got about 50 words a day, and I have about 27,000 words. So I'm sitting at my dining room table. I have, of course, my binder, my folders, and all of the different testimonies and all of the IG report the Intel report, the Senate Intel report, when Nunes first put that out.
Yes.
I've got some other great documents that I've saved from some wonderful, there's so many warriors out there, patriotic warriors and digital warriors, and yeah.
Are these accessible to the average American that wants to dig?
I mean,
you've dug, you know,
they should have
so deep, but what about us? What we're going to touch on, we're going to touch on in the next segment of those documents and the importance of it, but they are accessible, correct?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I got them all off the internet. You can save them to your laptop, or like me, I'm an old teacher, so I like to print them, and I have a highlighter, and I go through them, and I can reference them easily, and I keep them next to my favorite chair. A lot of people know that because people have heard me talk before, but yeah, because you got to review, you know, it's like reviewing for an exam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get to the bottom of this and have the facts, and you have to have the facts at your fingertips. And sometimes, you know, on a laptop, it's not as easy for some people. Some people like to have a paper copy. So, yeah.
Who would you say are the people in the media
that I like
that
to
have
follow?
Helped, that you've talked to or can help have the best information, create the best, you know, discussions on these very issues you're talking about? Who are the key people?
Well, there's so many. So Tom Fenton, he's the first guy I check every day.
Okay.
He should really be the director of the FBI. I don't know why we have to keep having lawyers running the FBI and the DOJ. They, you know, so Tom Fenton is my number one go-to guy. I look at his, because then the only ones that have been getting these documents, you know, he's requested these FOIA requests that he talks about all the time.
Yes.
Where, remember, Redactenstein, as I call him, Rosenstein, they refuse to get released documents. They just won't give them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so much time goes. So Tom Fenton, Devin Nunes, of course, anytime he's, because he has seen everything. Of course, he wrote the first House Intel memo. I mean, he has seen, he's been in the SCIF, he has seen, and he's a huge defender of my brother, General Flynn, because he knows what happened. And the big thing with Devin is he's always been so good about saying, we still don't know who leaked General Mike Flynn. And that's there's a serious felon on the loose. So Devin Nunes, I think Jim Jordan is doing amazing. He's been mm-hmm. fighting so hard. I mean, I'm talking about people that are front and center on the news. So I look for Jim Jordan's words and Mark Meadows mm-hmm. and Sidney Powell.
Yes.
I love to see what Sidney, really, I wanted her to be part of the DOJ. I was really rooting and hoping that she would at least get an interview or be part of the team. She is a super prosecutor. She knows everything about, she's written a book about the, you know, Weissman and some of those characters. And she's from Dallas. And I love Sarah Carter and John Solomon and Jack Posobiec. And one of my favorite guys, he doesn't, you know, have a lot of followers. His name is Jeff Carlson.
Yes.
I've talked about him to other people. Bartiromo.
She's
awesome. Bartiromo has like the best guests. And what I like about her is she asks hard questions. She's constantly, you know, going after the truth. And when are we going to see these people held accountable? She always says that. I just love her. And these are just great patriots. And of course, I said Jack Posobiec and Gateway Pundit.
Okay.
Those guys are great.
We're going to get back to that. On that note, we're just going to take a short break.
Okay.
So everybody, we'll be back in a minute.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back with Barbara Flynn Redgate. And, you know, one of the poems I wrote 3 months ago describes the elation we all felt a few weeks before this crazy hearing that happened in December, when the Mueller sentencing memorandum recommended no jail time. And we were very elated. Yeah. And the name of the poem is O General, Our General. The unbridled joy we are feeling, we can barely contain. God rewarded our efforts, a brilliant rainbow after the rain. That grain of injustice so irritated our core. Single-minded our purpose, we dug in like never before. Heartened yet sorrowed, your life and family at risk. So many years in the making, they act like it didn't exist. Serving our country in peace and in war, he became his dutiful counsel in the midst of a storm. A probe with a purpose of unseating our man. He got caught in a crossfire that he hadn't planned. But the strength of our general goes above all the rest, how he reacts to adversity when he's put to the test. He looked out over his troops with tears, became overcome, grateful, so thankful for what his supporters had done. So General, our General, we've got your back. With faith, family, and friends, you'll be back on the track.
Oh, gosh. Wow, Ray, Barbara, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God, I don't know if I can keep it together right now and follow that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oof. Barbara, what happened in court that day, that December 18th?
I was there, you know, and we thought it was going to be over, that General Mike would get his voice back and we could really find out, you know, what happened. I mean, we're dying for him to be free again. And I sat there with my family and, honest to God, looking across, you know, the aisle, there were five pews. And I'm looking at I counted 17 lawyers. So rows of lawyers and three lawyers sitting at the head table. And then, of course, I look at General Mike's table and he's got his two lawyers who have tried their best. And the judge came in and he just went off on this outrageous slandering, you know, crazy. It was like he was showboating. And for me as a teacher, you know, when I would come into a classroom, I would be prepared. So he didn't just make up these horrible words that he accused my brother of on the fly. He, to me, had to think about what he was going to say. And I felt like, wow, you know, this is awful. Like, I really wanted to stand up and shout him down.
What did he say?
I mean, I had all I could do to hold myself in my seat.
What did he say?
Well, he said things like, you know, is he a traitor? And, you know, you turned your back, you lied, and you turned your back on this country. You've sold your country out. It was all these horrible things. Meanwhile, of course, in the courtroom, they allow all these media people. So we've got a row of media people, and they're just writing it all down. And right away, it's getting out there. And all the lawyers, I can see them kind of smirking. And it was just it made us all sick to our stomach.
Almost like a setup.
Yeah, he had a noose around my brother's neck. There was no doubt about it. He was going to, you know, I mean, here's Mike in there for a misstatement. General Mike's in there for a misstatement. He's going off on this tangent. And it was just this like horrible, outrageous libel. He libeled him twice. And then, of course, you know, they take a break, which is so, you know, it's horrible. They take a break and he comes back and in really a half-assed way under his breath, he says, you know, I guess that didn't really happen, you know, and he wanted to walk back his words. But, you know,
it's like the feathers were already out of the pillow.
Oh, yeah. No, he knew it. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he really, I mean, so now you're dealing. So all of us are like, uh-oh, you know, this is going. So now, you know, what do you say? You know, like they still, the special counsel there still never got the original 302s that they were supposed to get. And the 302 that they did show was one that McCabe wrote like months later, which is wrong, and all of this other stuff. So, I mean, they wanted to hang him like that day. We were like, oh my God, we thought it was over. And that the next day, you know, General Mike would be out there, and he's never going to talk about feel sorry for himself. He's just going to say, hey, we've got to make sure that we elect, Donald Trump again in 2020. Yes. That's all he wants to do is, you know, he went out on the campaign trail and tried to help Omar Navarro beat Mad Maxine Waters. And they have him in a vice grip. They do not want him talking at all. They want him stopped. And if he opens his mouth, then they're going after his family. They're going after his children. And he has two sons, you know. And so anyway, he's doing everything he can to protect all of us. Yes. I mean, I'm surprised I haven't had a knock at my door. And, you know, Joe, too, because we're just doing everything we can to defend our brother. So, yeah.
I want to just step back before we get into the depth of the fact-finding materials that I know you want to, you know, share with us. But what did your brother uncover about Hillary Clinton that set this whole thing off?
Yeah. Well, the actual first guy to uncover, I think, is Tom Fitton. I just want to give him credit because I'm pretty sure, you know, it was Tom who, you know, found out a lot of that stuff. But of course, this all started when General Mike, the target on General Mike's back was big. He was the only person to call out Obama's narratives. When first he proclaimed that Al-Qaeda was close, you know, Obama said Al-Qaeda was the JV team and that ISIS was the JV team and Al-Qaeda was close to defeat and on the run. And also the Iranian deal. General Mike was like, why are we giving $150 billion in cash to the Iranians? I mean, so General Flynn has been called one of the most outspoken critics. And you could go in my Twitter, I link all of his videos talking about all of the different scandals. So Hillary Clinton's knowingly using a private server, you know, sharing classified, top secret classified information. You know, I think I told you the other day, I had students, so she's using a private server. My students in my class could hack the cafeteria in a second, second. You know, so anybody can hack a private server. That's an expert, you know. So she exposed all of our national security to the worst corrupt terrorists possible, the Chinese, the Iranians, you name it, they had it. And, because he spoke the truth, you know, the simple matter of the fact is that people fear those who speak the truth. In my brother's case, you know, these bad actors knew that he spoke the truth. He had already proven his might and character, remember, during his tenure at the DIA. Mm-hmm. And they had to get him out of that White House as quickly as they could. And so, you know, to get what they wanted done, they diabolically spied on General Flynn right away. The minute I watched him at a congressional hearing with, you know, here he is. There's a picture I like to put out there sometimes. It's General Mike. It's Mueller. Special coup. It's Brennan and it's Clapper. And I mean, you know, here he is sitting there and his body language is so clear and they've all got these scrunched, ugly faces, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, he's sitting there with all the demons, you know. So I believe that's when he started speaking, like, you know, he said, no, ISIS isn't the JV team. It's metastasizing. It's become a cancer. I mean, look at what's happening in the streets of London and all over the world with these Islamic terrorists taking over different places. So anyway, it's despicable how easy it has been for this cartel, I call it, or cabal, to run afoul of our rule of law and to make a mockery of our Constitution, you know.
It was the Obama DOJ that basically handed Hillary her skates.
Yes. Well, they gave her.
I mean,
remember,
what about Baker? What did Baker do? Didn't he say, look, there's a problem here? Serious problem.
James, and I could talk about, would you like me to talk about all the different
documents? Yeah, I think this is a good launching point to talk about you know, the hard facts and the reports to help us shed light on this.
Okay, so if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, I would write these down. But the very first document people should print or save is the House Intel Memo. It's really easy. You just go, or you can Google Nunes Memo, because a lot of people call it that. Nunes Memo on your laptop. Do a Google search, documentcloud.org. And why do I like this factual-filled document? It lists all of the cabal that signed the fake Russian dossier FISAs. Mm-hmm. So let's just go through them. So James Comey signed 3 FISA applications, okay, 3 of them that we know of. McCabe signed 1 that we know of. Sally Yates signed 1. So now we've got the Deputy Attorney General. And then I'll talk, and of course we know Rosenstein, Redacted signed the last one, but there's another character in there that nobody ever hears about. And this document talks about him too. And his name is, he was the Deputy Attorney General, Dana Buente. And I'm just going to tell you, this guy left the Department of Justice, worked for some law firm for a little while. He slithered out, and now he is, it's mind-blowing, he is the chief legal counsel for FBI Director Wray. So worthless Wray now has this guy back as his chief legal counsel. So he took James Baker's place at the FBI as top lawyer for Wray. I mean, it's just insane. These people, they just stay infected. So the Nunes memo, it's the best thing to have. I just go right to page 2 and I highlighted the names. The second document that people should have is the IG, the first IG report. I mean, you know, in order for us to understand the corruption and have our facts straight when we're talking to people. So the IG report is, it's Office of the Inspector General. You can just put down Office of the Inspector General. And I went and found it at oversight.gov, and you scroll through that and you'll find it. But the title of this report, and I pinned it in my pinned tweet on Twitter. I've got a whole bunch of things. And
what's your handle on Twitter?
It's just Barbara Flynn Redgate.
Okay.
Barbara Flynn Redgate. It's really easy. So this document is critical to have. It's all facts. It's the IG first IG report. We hope we get another one. I'm not sure. And the title is A Report of Investigation of Certain Allegations Relating to Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. Mm. So this report goes into detail about Andrew McCabe, and this is the IG, his own FBI, right, investigating him. And he lied under oath 4 times total, but 3 times. So he it gives you the dates. So I'll just read one. May 9, 2017, questioned under oath by the FBI agents from INSC, McCabe, and of course they always use the word lack candor with General Flynn, you know, lied under oath, but
right,
he told the agents, I'm just reading the one lie. He told the agents that he had not authorized the disclosure to the Wall Street Journal and did not know who did. And then they go through the violation. So he lied under oath. And then July 28, 2017, you know, and it goes on and on. This is a critical document because it, you know, he's on his cover your ass book tour, right? I don't think he's being investigated at all. All these people say he's under investigation. You know what? If he's on a book tour, the FBI's not doing anything because his lawyers would be saying, you know, you need to keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. But he's out there, you know, talking all the time. So I don't know. I don't trust that he's being investigated at all until I see him arrested. I mean, why don't they, you know, he's lied under oath 3 times. They've got Roger Stone. They did a 29-man SWAT team at his front door at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, and took everything out of his house and scared the daylights out of him. Meanwhile, McCabe is walking around with 3 lies under oath on a book tour, you know, and he was the deputy director of the FBI. And he's talking about undermining and, you know, the 25th Amendment and counting heads with redactinstein. I mean, this is just insane. And we know that for a fact. So there's the IG report, and that's full of factual information. Something I love to have, and this is by Jeff Carlson, it's a listing of participants, and it's about 38 pages. So I'll just say it again in case people, I hope, you know, they can review, I guess, the video of the our show, and they can hear this again. But yes, a listing of participants. And this document is by Jeff Carlson, and he goes through all of the, he compiles a complete list of all the individuals with possible involvement or affiliation in Trump's surveillance, the Steele dossier, or the Russian narrative, people that you forget about, you know. So, I mean, he talks about Mary McCord, David Loffman, Rachel Brand, people that, and this is critical to have. Of course, he talks about Sally Yates and Bruce Orr. And I'll just, like, kind of bring up Bruce Orr real quick. You know, so now we know from Bruce Orr's testimony, I printed that one. There's a couple of guys that have documented Bruce Orr's testimony, and just one of them that's kind of handy is, and a lot of them, like Victoria Townsend, Joe DiGenova's wife, she's another one I like to follow. And of course, we like to listen to Joe DiGenova because he's so great.
We're just going to take a quick break. We're going to jump off the bus. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Barbara, you were talking about Bruce Orr. Can you please continue? Yeah. Because there's been some recent revelations about Bruce Orr.
Yeah, well, there's a great, you know, there's a lot of good articles, but just one, just to have. It's called, it's by written by Victoria Townsend, and that's Joe DiGenova's wife.
Yes.
She's also an attorney. And Bruce Orr's testimony shows, it says, shows something's really rotten at the Justice Department. Okay, so let me just kind of talk about Bruce Orr. This is the summer of 2016. His wife was working for Fusion GPS. She was helping to create the fake Russian dossier. That's a fact. He was taking, he's working at the DOJ. He's working with Sally Yates. I mean, they're right down, their rooms are, their offices are near each other. And he works with Rosenstein. He was getting thumb drives from her and Fusion GPS and bringing them to his handler, and his handler at the FBI is a guy named Joe Pienka. Okay. And Joe Pienka would then, you know, bring him, and they would brief McCabe and Strzok and whoever else was in that room. I'm not sure, but so Orr is the conduit or conduit between Fusion GPS, who his wife is working for. He's got these flash drives he's carrying, because the fake Russian dossier was not created in one big chunk. It was created in segments. People need to understand that.
Okay.
There's a few of them out there And it was created in seconds. So he's taking these flash drives, and you can just see him going over, being handled by Joe Pienka, FBI agent Joe Pienka, going over to the FBI and briefing them. Okay, one of those briefings, this is before the election. This is the summer of 2016. That's a fact that's in his testimony. Joe Pienka was also one of the agents. He's the agent that went in and ambushed General Flynn after the election.
This was at the White House? They invited him.
Were told by McCabe, and of course, Comey knew about it, and I'm sure Sally Yates. But anyway, but this is a fact. Joe Pienka was the note taker that went in and ambushed General Flynn with Strzok. And we've never seen that original 302 yet. And that's where the FBI said General Mike didn't lie, that there was nothing he said. He wasn't hiding anything, but of course, special counsel turns it into whatever they want, because that's what they do when they threaten your family and just drain you financially. So Joe Pienka was the handler for Bruce Orr at the FBI the summer before the election, the summer of 2016. That's just mind-blowing to me.
It is. This is all before the election. People
before
have to
election.
Understand what was going on, the wiretapping, the corruption, the detailed evidence they were trying to get together, a false, fake dossier, all before the election.
Yeah, this is a brazen plot against Trump by the Obama-era FBI and DOJ, and it's still continuing. And it was all enabled by a complicit media. Like, the media is mind-blowing to me why they don't want to help this country recover from this. It's really frightening that they refuse to – they hate Donald Trump, more than they love our country. So anyway, the other part about – Orr, okay, and this brings in the special counsel. So Orr also, in the summer of 2016, it's a fact in his testimony, he briefed Weissman. This is why Barr is kind of important right now, and he also briefed this Zainab Ahmad, A-H-M-A-D. She's a woman, okay? These two are prosecutors on the special coup team, and they were briefed about the fake Russian dossier the summer of 2016.
Wow.
People need to understand that. So they've been totally compromised, and that brings me to this Weiss. I'm hoping, here's a good thing to remember. Tomorrow, March 15th, A.G. Barr received a letter from Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, and they wanted information about Weissman and Ahmad and their conflicts on the special counsel team. A.G. Barr is supposed to answer Jim Jordan. There's a letter, you can find it on Twitter, the letter that Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan wrote to A.G. Barr, and they want answers about their conflicts. We know they were conflicted. And guess who Ahmad Zainab is? I've seen her with my own two eyes. She is prosecuting. She's one of the lead prosecutors against General Flynn. So I saw her in the courtroom. With her hair, flipping her hair back, and a smug look on her face, and a smile. It was disgusting to
really,
me.
Really
so,
disgusting.
So, oh my God, it was awful, guys. I just got my stomach ached,
It's mind-boggling what happened.
Yeah.
And I really want to ask you, I mean, I know you're at this 24-7.
Yeah.
But how do you relax, Barbara?
Oh God, I surfed my brains out. Today, I surfed for 5 hours. I'm in San Diego. Thank God for the ocean and all my crazy surfing buddies. And I surfed a place called Sunset Cliffs. You can Google Earth it. And it was just going off today. It was just overhead.
So the ocean gives you the peace.
The ocean is my sanctuary. Yeah.
I want to ask you, I mean, that's great, because you got it. You have to take a break.
Yeah.
Tell me about the financial effects, and I want to ask you about the legal defense fund and your involvement.
Okay,
I'll
give you guys an update about the financial. So now we're going on the third year, and when the 18th happened, I was like, oh no, another year, they're going to drag this out. So we have raised about you know, almost $3 million. But General Mike, for, you know, every month, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars to retain. Like, this is not something an average middle class family can handle, you know?
No.
And so we're talking about probably, by the time this is all said and done, $15 to $20 million.
Wow.
You know, another year. So, you know, where do you have that money? You know, so we've raised, you know, we've raised, thank God, for all the hardworking patriots and the Legal Defense Fund. And, you know, if you want me to talk about that real quick, I'll
yes,
just say
we definitely had the name of it. You know, you're the trustee, correct?
Yeah, I'm the trustee. And when all of this started, you know, we could see Mike going through, General Mike going through horrible financial burden and having to retain lawyers. And we, you know, they drag it out. That's what they do. Like, they just drag it out forever until you just have to, you know, they bleed you with everything. So anyway, when this horrible witch hunt went into hyperdrive, my family and I decided we had to do something to fight back. So what can we do? We're just regular people. So we created the Legal Defense Fund just to show our love and support for our wonderful brother, General Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's become is a rallying place. And I say that over and over because it's just mind-blowing, like the amazing prayers and messages we get. It's all from hardworking, everyday people. And we don't want anybody to feel any obligation or pressure to have to make a donation. It's not our goal. Our goal is just to, I mean, to help them with what we can. You know, but it's all these wonderful prayers that we get and letters and
beautiful.
Just messages. Like, it keeps us going. It literally lifts us off the ground and picks us up and gives us a lot of comfort and strength to just keep pressing on and keep the pressure on, keep fighting, you know. So,
What's the technical name of the Legal Defense Fund?
It's just the Mike Flynn Legal Defense Fund.
Okay.
That's all you have to Google, Mike Flynn Legal Defense Fund. And every Friday, there's a group of people that do All In for General Flynn Friday.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's Peach and Ray and Peep and Dawn and all those. And
wonderful
Dave.
People.
I mean, God,
we know who they
oh, my
are.
God.
We know who they
someday,
are, absolutely.
Honest to God, Ray, our goal, our dream, and we were going to do it after the 18th. Our dream was to get an RV. And General Mike and Joe and a bunch of my family and Lori and all of us go around and visit everybody and just stop at their house and say, hey, guys, we're coming to your house, and just, you know, have a beer or a cup of coffee or just hug everybody and just thank everybody. And I pray, that's my dream, that this, when this is over, that we get to go on a big Flynn family thank you tour. That's all we want, you know, with an RV.
Wow.
You know, and
oh my
just
God.
Ride
you're bringing
around,
tears
you know?
To my eyes. And I hope that's what happens at the end of this thing. And that
you.
Would be amazing. You know, that would be a thank you tour. Oh my God.
I know. I that's what keeps me going is, you know, someday I will be able to see people, you know, and people like Kat, who, God, she's been there since the beginning. She's the one that created the I Stand with General Flynn, you know. I mean, there's just amazing people out there that I talk to them on the phone, but I want to sit in their kitchen, you know, instead of my own stupid kitchen for a change and visit with everybody. But it's really up to AG Barr right now. For our president is alone. We're, you know, this immigration problem that he's facing, I mean, it's costing the U.S. taxpayers $135 billion a year, mm-hmm. and these Republicans have turned their backs on him. I mean, not to be speaking on his behalf about what he's going through right now, McConnell, of course, Ryan, you know, turned his back on him. None of them are defending our president from this abuse that he's been going through for going on 3 years now. Every day he's fighting, you know, to keep the presidency going. I mean, he's over there talking to a nuclear power in Korea, and they're running this disgusting fake Cohen hearing where they, you know, now we know that Schiff was, you know, helping coach him for that hearing. And I hope that comes out. But it's in A.G. Barr's hands. He needs to dismiss this whole entire prosecution for egregious government misconduct. And the only way, two guys out there, that this is going to happen is public outrage. Public outrage. That's the only thing that's going to drive accountability. We will not get accountability unless people keep the pressure on. This is a full court press we're in right now. I mean, and I keep saying, okay, Barr, you know, you got another couple of weeks. If I don't see McCabe arrested pretty soon, you're going to hear from me, because this is the double standard, this two-tiered, you know, equal justice under the law, you know, one set of rules, one set of laws for some people and another set of laws for other people is unacceptable. But again, back to public outrage, guys, we have to keep it up, you know. Even in our little Twitter world, it's working, you know, it works. Because and really looking for the facts, keeping all the facts, you know, in front of you, so you know how to tweet something out and have some facts in front of you, you know.
You know, in the last few minutes, I just want to, you know, tell you about, and I saw a picture on Twitter, and it struck me quite heavily. It was, and maybe you know the picture I'm talking about. It looks like your brother Mike and your brother Charlie in battle fatigues.
Surrounding
this petite, beautifully sweet woman with white hair. Was that your mom?
Yeah, that's my mom. That's Helen. And, you know, we were a family. We grew up in a 1,200 square foot house with like one bathroom and nine kids. But my parents were amazing. And, you know, I talk about my mom. My mom was really the brains of the outfit. My dad was a really sweet, wonderful guy. He was in the Army. But my mother was the valedictorian of her class and, you know, and of course the daughter of a master chief. But she really serviced the country. They were just wonderful role models, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would talk around the table all of the time. I mean, when you came to our house, you better have your facts straight. She just read everything too. And, you know, our family cookouts were, we'd have big arguments and lots of ideas because it was a lot of lively political debate. My mother went to law school when she was 55. After she raised all of us.
Wow.
She went to law school and graduated when she was 60 from law school.
Oh my God.
So out of that organized chaos that what we call 57 Tuckerman Avenue, we really, you know, school was so important, you know, and education, of course, you know, was everything to us and service to country. So, yeah, we went to Catholic schools where, you know, it was free back then to go to Catholic schools, and the Catholic schools were run by the nuns.
Yes.
So my parents were just wonderful. But, you know, my mother had in that picture, she knew something was special about my brother General Mike and Charlie too. She was very protective of those guys because we would brag about them a little bit as they were going up in the ranks, because they're the first two generals in since the Civil War, two brothers that served as generals since the Civil War at the same time. And they have a General Flynn's Day in honor of my two brothers in Middletown, Rhode Island. And my brother Charlie, a lot of people don't know, he's still an active duty general. And the day of the trial, that 18th of December, was so surreal and crazy. You know, Charlie couldn't go. General Charlie couldn't go because he was commissioning his son in the Army.
Oh, my.
You know, at the same time, I'm looking at 17, you know, lawyers trying to put and a judge just abusing my wonderful brother, General Mike, who, you know, served this country 33 years overseas and fought all these enemies. And now he comes back and he discovers the most evil enemy in our country. You know, it's just so crazy.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
You know, in the last couple of minutes that we're going to, you know, wrap up this final segment, I want to ask you, based on everything that's happened overall, what is the one thing that's upset you the most?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty tough, you know, and I move through, I mean, everything, you know, we've heard it all. I think the worst is how horrible the media is smearing my brother knowing these facts. They don't want the truth out. And, you know, they just keep creating these fake stories about him. And like the one with Putin, you know, when he went over to Russia, he had briefed the DIA. He had briefed the DIA before and afterwards, and yet they took that and they've created this terrible Russian narrative around my brother, you know. I mean, it's insane. And he never even spoke to Putin. He went there and he had, you know, he told everybody he was going. He had to. He had to brief the DIA before and after. So there's never been any secrets with General Flynn either. You know, they say all these, you know, they use them as clickbait. I think that's one of the most painful things. But you know what? General Flynn, he predicted it. You know, he saw it coming. He warned us. You know, at one of the Trump rallies late in the campaign, he said, this is our time. This is our last shot. He called them all out. He had the courage to stand up against them and call them all out. He said, you know, like back at the election, that's why he knew we could not let Hillary win, or that we would never. I mean, look at all of the information, the facts that have unfolded now since he called them all out. This election, he said, is about the heart and soul of the United States of America. But, you know, make no mistake, you know, my brother, the general, foresaw that if Hillary Clinton won this election, America would no longer be the land of the free. I mean, it would be shrouded in a dark cloud of scandalous actions by this cartel of compromised individuals who could care less about the Constitution and the American way. You know, there's, I mean, there's, I could go on and on, Ray, about all of that.
I know you can. And you know what, Barbara, there may be a time when we want to have you come back, but I just want to wrap up by saying a couple of things. First of all, I want you to know how much we love you.
Oh, my God.
Your family, your every single one of you, we are behind you. America Out Loud, from top to bottom, is behind you. And I just want to sincerely thank you for coming on and shining your light on this whole debacle. And Barbara, I just want to express Godspeed to you.
Thank you.
And the general, and tell him we love him. And I just want to say, love Ray Ray and a poem.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Well, I hope that you guys see the love of family that we have, the love of our family, and the strength that a family has when they stand together. I mean, it's amazing. And we keep our sense of humor. You know, we have to through all of this and just share our love. I mean, there isn't a day that doesn't go by that we all don't say we love each other. And we move on, you know, and it gives so much strength. So family forever. And I'm so grateful for the time, Ray, and grateful to all the millions of Americans out there that are helping us and praying for us. And keep the prayers coming, because they're working. You know, we've got, time is on our side, I think. I hope so. God bless all of you and keep you all safe always, too.